Hey everybody, welcome to Teenagers with Attitude, the show where a bunch of adults sit around and talk about teenagers in tightly colored clothing fighting monsters. I'm Zach, and this week, that's right, we've got our actual villain back. She's been in like 10 episodes, but here she is again.
Iris is not a villain.
No, hold on, that's not what I meant.
After two dozen episodes, I'm free.
Yeah, exactly. Joining me, as you may have guessed, we've got Iris.
Hi.
We've got Emily.
Yo.
And we've got Morgan.
Nut free since 2024.
Hell yeah.
Incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So we missed a week. That's not why, but it also is a thing that happened.
I'm so happy you took a break so I could have surgery.
You're welcome. Yeah, that's what it was for.
I'm sure it wasn't anything else and other people that we should be congratulating.
We had a lot of stuff going on. And yes, I did want to say congratulations to friend of the show, Luke. Or you know, member of the show. Luke got married.
And Chelsea. Chelsea's also a friend of the show.
That's true. A big group of us went to the wedding. It was wonderful. And then I was like, oh, I sure am 37. And I can tell because I need a week straight to recover from like 2 days of hanging out. So,
yeah, it only gets worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen.
I went to go visit family immediately after. So I did not get any rest for like another week. So
I think like one of the primary indicators that all of us were like in our 30s or like, you know, in that range is that rather than like dance to the higher DJ they had,
good.
What if we just went outside and sat down?
I will say my personal, like, I felt bad because that's such a cool thing. You know, I'm glad they got to dance and everything, but like my personal preference is always going to be to like talk to my friends.
Yes, that's true.
I love concerts, but like as an example, if I go to a bar with friends to like have drinks and there's live music, I'm probably going to leave. Like if I get surprised by it, you know, I'd rather like hang out and talk.
Yeah, so, I mean, especially you know, all of us meeting, like some of us for the like me, the first time I ever met y'all, and we wanted to hang out, you know, like make the most of the time we have.
Iris, to that point though, the fact that on the night of the wedding, I think everybody went home at like 9 o'clock is definitely an indicator of that. We're all like desperately trying to stay awake because we want to hang out.
We're all so tired. Yeah.
We can barely move. It's so funny.
Jet lag can also really ruin that.
That's true. When I see my friends now, like college friends, I've noticed that like, I can do straight up, like, I can do your college party for a night. I can do it still. It's just that the next day is like,
yeah.
Oh no.
I can only see for myself. Mm. I did not get a lot of sleep before the wedding because, like, the way I traveled, it was like we started traveling at 6 a.m. one day and ending up in Texas at 1:30 p.m. the next day.
Yeah, you had a huge travel time.
Yeah, it was a lot because we had to take a bus and then a planes, like multiple planes, and we just and I tried. I was going like, oh, I'll sleep on the plane. It didn't really work out. So
I've never been able to sleep on a plane.
Very glad you made it. And then this weekend, this is not really related, but I just want to talk about a thing I did, which is that I installed and wired into my house an overhead fan, which I've never done anything like that before.
Oh, congratulations.
And thank you. My house hasn't burnt down, and I didn't fall off the ladder and die. And that's the two things I was pretty sure were going to happen, though. I will say that my wife hurt her leg.
Oh,
and
no.
She's all right. I mean, it sucks, but she'll be okay. But one of the things that has happened with it is that for some reason sleeping, she passed out on the couch and found out that for whatever reason, like the part of her leg that hurts, it doesn't hurt as much when she gets up if she sleeps on the couch as opposed to the bed for some reason. Huh. So she's been sleeping on the couch for a couple days. And then I put that fan up and she looked at it, which it's right above the couch. And she's like, look, I'm not saying that I think for sure that you did a bad job, but I am saying the first night I'm not going to sleep under the fan.
Do and not put like, a sword of Damocles above your wife.
That's wow. fair. I'm not going to be mad at you if you don't sleep well, under the fan.
The fans have multiple blades, so it's like several swords of Damocles.
Yes. Yeah. Hmm. It's also we have tall ceilings, so it's on like a really long down rod, so it kind of wobbles when it's on high speed. It's supposed to,
yeah.
But also it's kind of scary. And it also makes it more like a pendulum. So, you know,
that's not good.
You don't want to just be staring at that. It doesn't wobble that much. I'm just being silly. So obviously that was the other very important thing that happened to me. Let's see. Iris, it's been a while since you've been on. Anything in particular that you've been up to? It can be Power Rangers related or Sentai related, but it doesn't have to be.
I watched a lot of Kamen Rider.
Oh, that's right. Hell you yeah. have been watching a bunch of Kamen Rider.
So I had already seen Forza because of Totally Reprise.
Okay.
But then I decided like a month ago to finally watch X-Aid. Because knew several of my friends liked X-Aid.
Video game doctors.
Gamer doctors. So I finished that in like 2 weeks last month.
Nice.
And I had a decent time with it. I think like the first half of it can be kind of monotonous in places. Some of the cast is more underdeveloped than I would like. But I think it has like some pretty strong back half to it. And I really like Emu and Poppy a whole lot.
They're really good.
The villain and most of the villains are very fun as well. It also does have one of the coolest villain reveals.
Is it a big spoiler?
It's not I can probably say the name Kamen Rider Kronos.
Okay.
Like the first time he appears, it's really, really fucking cool, actually. X-Aid
I've seen this guy for sure.
I posted a gif of like his sick ass rider kick. But X-Aid is an interesting sort of mixed bag of a show, where it's got a lot of cool stuff going on, but also it has a lot of frustrating stuff as well. I also am just finding that like the more shit you put on the Kamen Rider suit, the less I am likely to enjoy it.
That makes sense.
That's something I realized about myself because I don't like the Forza suit very much. And I really, it's that one. That's like the base form. Definitely as they get more and more power ups, they always tend to have more shit, but I like them when they're a little more streamlined.
Yeah.
In general,
kind of okay with how Forza does it. Depends on, you know, the attachments Forza is using, but yeah. You know, after watching X-Aid, I decided to start watching Kamen Rider Blade.
Oh, nice.
And those Blade suits are real nice. I love them a whole lot.
Chalice is so good.
Kamen Rider Chalice is fucking gorgeous.
Chalice is cool. We watched that one for...
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. That was... and I do really like the Chalice.
Yeah, I was on for that ep, and that's the reason why I decided to watch more of it, because I watched and I was like, oh, damn, out of all the ones that I have watched for Teenagers with Attitude, Blade is the one that hooked me the most, because like I really dug its cinematography and its like suit style. Mm-hmm. And I've been having a good time with it.
Was I on that one?
I can't remember. Blade has two Kamen Riders to start with, and he's like the young one, and there's an older one.
Yeah, and then Chalice is like...
And then a third one shows up.
I guess
and,
I missed this one because I do not recognize this guy. Interesting.
Chalice is the one. I like Blade too. I don't love his head shape, but that's fine.
His head is weird, but I like the belts and the English voice that they've got for everything. I really like of just like turn up.
Yeah, so if you like that, let me tell you about the Reiwa era of Kamen Rider, because that shit happens all the fucking time.
I will never get Decade out of my head.
Yeah, Decade has a bunch of them.
Decade!
XA does it a ton. Revice does it a lot. Zio as well. I watched a few episodes of Zio when I was hanging out at Fabby's house after the wedding.
Nice.
I had a good time with Zio, actually. I'll probably, you know, watch that after I'm done with Blade.
I forgot to, so Emily, the other thing about Blade is that he's playing card themed. Like, there's other ones that are card themed, but he's specifically themed around, like, a playing card deck.
Yeah, it's sort of like a Cardcaptor Sakura situation where, they throw blank cards at a defeated undead, which is the enemy of that season. And the card sucks the undead into it and gives them a special power.
So
they
just
can activate like by, like, swiping the card on, like, a little slot on the blade.
I just sent a picture. The other thing about it that I couldn't get over when we were watching is that he just has a dual disc attached, a Yu-Gi-Oh! Dual disc attached to his sword. It
fucking kicks ass.
Is great, yeah.
Cool. I recently finished episode 8 of Blade, so I'm going a little slower through it, but I'm having a good time.
Cool.
Nice. Well, with that, Morgan or Emily, is there anything y'all wanted to talk about before we get into it?
Not really. I was not able to move for a couple of days, so I watched...
That is understandable.
I watched Schmigadoon, which is TV series about two people who get isekai'd to a land where everything is musicals.
Yes, it's got Keegan-Michael Key in it. I've actually heard it's really good. I haven't seen it, but I've heard people really like it.
It's really enjoyable. It's one of those, if you have Apple TV, I would suggest watching it. I don't know if I would suggest getting Apple TV for it, but the people I was staying with had Apple TV, so I watched a bunch of Apple TV shows and then like two seasons of Survivor. Oh, and Infinity Train. Nice. If you've never seen Infinity Train, find a way to see Infinity Train because that show's great.
Yeah, Infinity Train is fantastic.
Schmigadoon has a pretty incredible cast, I will say. I'm looking at it. It's got Kristen Chenoweth and Alan Cumming and Keegan-Michael Key and Cecily Strong. Cool cast.
Yeah.
We'll
check it out at some point. And Survivor is just peak, like, I'm not paying attention to the TV, but it's on TV, so...
It was perfect to have while I read 150 chapters of a Scribble Hub story about a girl who turns into a fox girl and then goes in space with her girlfriends.
Oh, good. Lexi's been writing a lot in her spare time. That's nice.
I love Fix-It Fox.
Exactly.
speaking of Survivor, I mentioned I went and saw family over my vacation after I went to the wedding, and we were talking to Cassie's cousin and about Survivor, and I mentioned like, because we're talking about like actually surviving a situation, I'm like, well, we don't really do that on the show, they just play stupid games, right? And he was like, they're not stupid games.
they are stupid though.
I'm sorry,
I like Survivor and they're stupid, like I don't
It's so funny that he doesn't think they're stupid. He thinks they're cool, I guess.
One of the best things about if you haven't seen Game Changer, which is a dropout TV series where the game is different every episode. They've done basically Survivor. And the thing that's so funny about it is that the games that they make them play in that are just like the exact same quality as it would be on actual Survivor.
Oh, that's interesting. Because I never actually played Survivor.
Because they're just like little, they're literally like games you would have your PE class play in third grade when you've run out of sports. Like that's what they're like.
I have been watching Game Changer. You want to know something silly though about me is that those Survivor episodes kind of stress me out. Because I'm like,
that's really funny. Because they're voting any people off.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want anyone to go. They're all so good. I want to see them all do more stuff. Oh, this sucks.
that's funny. That's understandable. That's not like my.
I don't know, I think I'm a favorite, big baby, like, format, but you know,
it's valid to not want people to hurt each other. I think that's valid.
They're not really hurting each other. They're just like, well, they're just playing
they're
a game.
Mean to
like,
each other though.
On actual Survivor. It's kind of a bummer because it's like, well, my favorite guy is out and there's half the season left, so I'm kind of going to stop watching. Like,
yeah,
that's...
they aren't very long. That's why I think I'm kind of silly, because it is like an episode. Like,
right. Yeah. Cool. Well, that sounds good. I'm glad you're feeling a little bit better. And let us watch.
What, you're not going to ask me?
I did ask you. Do you have anything you want
asked,
to talk
you
about?
You asked both me and Morgan, and then Morgan went. So, like, what?
Okay, well,
I'm
lost your chance. Over. Emily, what would you like to talk about?
I don't have a lot to talk about, but like, I just wanted to mention that, like, so you might not know this about me, but I am Princess Peach, and my video game did
That's
come out.
That's true.
Princess Peach Showtime, and I played through the whole thing on my vacation because we were bringing the Switches to my family's place, or our family's place, and that game is very cute. It's got really good production value. Like, one thing I really like about it is that it really leans into, like, the stage show aesthetic. Like, there's a part where, like, a bunch of bat monsters are flying at you, but, like, most of them are just projections on a stage, and only a few of them are actually coming out. Like, every single flying enemy, you can see they have, like, strings attached to them.
That's cute. Like,
that. That's all really well done. I will say, like, it is very much made for like a younger audience, it feels like, because it's not very hard. It can be a little difficult if you want to get like 100%, but not like that hard. And it is not very long.
Yeah.
And it is $80 Canadian.
Wow.
I've heard a lot of people say like that the costumes are all her designs look fucking great. The game looks fantastic. It plays pretty
really
well.
Really fun to play. Yeah, super fun
and
to play.
That it's one of those things where it's like, boy, I wish Nintendo, first party Nintendo games ever dropped in price because I would definitely play this.
Yeah, and it's like a great game to like play with your, like one thing about the play thing is it also kind of feels kind of storybooky. So if you were like playing with a kid, you could like read out the stuff to them and that would be fun. Except for the cinematics where it has like it does it. There's no voice acting in this, even in like the main like animated cinematics. It's just text, and the text goes by way too fast to read them out loud.
That sucks.
Which I thought was like kind of lame. Because again, like, what if it is a little kid who has to get the stuff read to them? Like, I don't know.
Huh.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, like, it's pretty good. She goes. It's a lot like a Sonic game in that she has a super form at the end of it, which I really liked.
Nice.
A little bit of spoilers there, but yeah. Before like this little baby game. But and yeah, like all the gameplay stuff that they did for the different Peach costumes is like really good, I would say. Like, I really liked the dashing thief had this like grappling hook mechanic that was really fun. The ninja levels, I would just like a whole game of that. Please just make Ninja Peach the game, which makes sense because the guy who made it did make like a Mystical Ninja starring Goemon for the N64.
Oh, nice.
Okay.
So like, I think this is the first game he's like developed since then.
Wow.
Yeah. So like. And yeah, Mighty Peach, I had a good surprise with Mighty Peach. That's the one who she's like kind of like a superhero, like kind of like Sentai-y. There is a scene where she gets big.
Oh, this Cassie is very really Sentai, that. Yeah.
Yeah, she gets giant, and Cassie really liked
that. Nice. I googled Super Princess Peach because you said she had a super form, and I forgot that's what the DS game was called.
Yeah, literally. I think it's called Radiant Peach.
Okay,
I believe is her super form, and yeah, like it's very
just
much
gonna
like
look it up.
This is the Super Saiyan fight at the end of the game where you just like
she kind of looks like lasers. Rosalina, though.
It does kind of look like Rosalina.
Yeah. Well, cool.
Yeah.
Neat. Yeah, I want to check that out at some point. That's kind of, I will say, even as somebody who lives in the U.S., so my games aren't quite as expensive, there's kind of a lot of DS, or not DS, Switch games that I want to play, but they're like $60, and I know they're not very long.
Mm, yeah.
Like that, and the new Sonic game that I want to play as well. I don't know. Maybe I'll get to them eventually. Well, cool. Well, with that, let's talk about the first episode of the finale of Power Rangers Lost Galaxy, episode 43, Journey's End, part 1. Now, it's been a while, so... I'm sorry. I do have to, real quick, we're not going to talk about it a bunch, but so many people messaged it to me. Yes, Austin St. John is a fucking monster and is selling t-shirts with Hitler quotes on them. Yeah, I know. We know. He's bad. He's really bad. We already knew he was kind of bad, but yeah,
there we just didn't know the full extent.
He sucks a lot. Some friends who don't listen to the show sent it to me, and I was like, what's fucked up is this makes him maybe the third worst Red Ranger as a person. Like, it's not even the number one. So, yeah.
Was he also the one who did the weird cryptocurrency thing?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. And he also embezzled a bunch of money from the government with the COVID relief funds. So he's a real piece of shit.
That all lines up.
Truly astonishing.
Don't buy his stuff. So there you go.
One more thing I want to say before we get into this episode is I watched all of the Lost Galaxy arc, you guys, except for the last one. And that's the one where they finally did something. And I'm so mad.
Yes.
the fucking one episode they missed. They actually do things in the episode.
They do stuff, and also at the end of the last episode, they escape the Lost Galaxy, and Captain Mutiny, who's the main bad guy for like 10 episodes, gets his ship attacked by Trakina, and he's like, that's a cliffhanger, and they'll resolve. No, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's dead, and that's okay. We're done.
Somehow Deviant's fine, despite the fact that he was on the ship with him, but apparently he's fine.
Who knows?
He's not going to be fine in a minute, but.
Yes. So, Trakina, we open with Trakina, who is very excited that Terra Venture is back so she can kill them. I have to point out, I guess she was literally just waiting at the point in space where they disappeared for weeks in case they came back.
All she has is vengeance for her father. That's all she's got going on.
But she doesn't mention that ever again. So, like, she never really says that. So it's like, why is she so... Like, if this is your first episode, you wouldn't know that. Like, Iris, did you get from this episode that she wants avenge from her father's death when Leo killed him?
No, I just assumed that she loved murder because she's a sicko.
Yeah, well, that is also true. Yeah. She does love to kill.
She gets more sicko-moded in a bit here, though. She's not that sicko-moded, but she gets sicko-moded.
Power Rangers is never great about follow-through, but Lost Galaxy in particular really feels like it forgets what different characters' motivations are. Like, so Deviant, in this episode, at the beginning of this episode, Deviant has survived being exploded somehow, and he gets on Trakina's ship, and he's like, oh, wow, thank you so much for saving me from the space pirate. And she's like, cool, I'm going to kill you for being a traitor now. Now, the thing is, when he joined her to try and get access to this cocoon, and she at that time was like, I'm pretty sure you're a traitor, but I'm just not going to worry about it. And, you know, you can just do whatever. And then he was around for episodes and episodes, and then... In this episode, he gets on the ship and she's like, you're a traitor, I'm going to kill you now. I don't know exactly what he did specifically that she's like, well, now I'm going to kill you?
It was in his contract that he couldn't work for other evil empires.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And he worked for Captain Mutiny, so.
I have a theory that he stole her magic book, which transported them all to the Lost Galaxy, because he wanted to hook up with Captain Mutiny.
I guess we don't know where he got that. Oh, sure, yeah. We don't know where he got that from.
That's a good filling in the blanks, as the show sure doesn't say that.
Right. So he begs her, please don't kill me.
Wait, didn't he do it from the galaxy book, which the Rangers had?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
so
he
there's
stole
no way
it.
That
yeah,
happened.
That's right.
Like, yeah.
I didn't see these episodes.
Like, oh, it's okay. She's like, well, Villamax, go ahead and kill that guy. And then what's pretty funny about this to me is that Villamax, like, chases him around the ship for, like, 2 seconds and then immediately loses him, even though he's right behind him.
Yeah.
Like somehow he completely gets away. And he goes back to this cocoon that he's wanted. That's the other thing is like, Deviat was like, I'll join her so I can get her cocoon. And then he never even tries up until this point.
Yeah.
It's not like he keeps going after it and she keeps stopping him. So he's going to get this cocoon, which he thinks will give him super duper powers because that's what Scorpius said it would do. And then just for people who are listening, because it's been quite a while, Trakina decided not to use it because she thought it would like steal her humanity and be, well, specifically, she thought it would make her less sexy, which is why she didn't want to use it. Which
yeah.
I mean, relatable, but also pretty funny.
You've seen her dad.
Yeah. Her dad was an overmind from StarCraft. So like, yeah, I wouldn't want to be that either. I get that. But yeah, so that's why she didn't use it. And it's just on her ship. It's also in chains, which is pretty funny because it can't move.
Chains don't let you get in.
Right. Yeah, of course. That's how chains work. So Deviat shoots them off and then is going to get in this cocoon, and then Villamax catches up and beats him up but doesn't kill him. And then Trakina shows up and is like, all right, now kill him. And to which Villamax, what he does with him is like throw him towards the cocoon. And then
after punching him a bunch.
After punching him, and then he's going to kill him, but he is able to get away, and he grabs Trakina, and they both go into the cocoon together, and all the rest of the bad guys are freaking out. And we get a shot inside of the cocoon that seems to imply that they're, like, merging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't remember exactly what happens with this, but when she comes out, she's just Trakina, but with like goth makeup.
Yeah.
And
I think her tentacles are longer too.
Yes, you're right. Her like head tentacle things are.
Frankly,
are
so
bigger.
Far, she's only gotten sexier. So
that was honestly my kind of takeaway as well. She's just got like more makeup. Which, you know,
I think she continues to transform, but at this point it's like, yeah, no, that's a good look.
Is her head thing different? I'm trying to figure out.
She's got
out
more tentacles. Definitely.
Yeah, it looks basically the same.
And I
but
think
she's
got Deviat's, like, hand cannon thing?
Yes, she does. You can't see it super well, but she appears to have his hand cannon.
Yeah, so I guess they fused a little bit, and that made her, like, more evil than she was before. I feel like they could have just killed Deviat off in the pirate thing, and then she goes into the cocoon for other reasons, but sure.
Yeah, I wonder if he's gonna, like, fight her from inside or whatever, but for now she says he's dead. She's like, there's no more Deviat, it's just me. Also, I'm more evil now, ha ha ha. You know, so she went into the evil cocoon and got more evil, because that's how Power Rangers works.
Yeah.
So we cut to the, bridge, or well, it's not the bridge. It's like the secret, the Illuminati it's, meeting
it's the
space.
Star Trek committee room.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And we've got Captain or Commander Stanton here talking to the Illuminati or whatever they are, the like council.
Like you call them the Illuminati when like they're not secret at all. Like everyone knows about them.
They're well, like the Borg. Not,
yeah. They also
they're the command like, crew, I assume.
Yeah.
Well, they're not the command crew also, because they're never on the bridge. They're just like senior leadership or something.
What do they call the girl? She's got like a title. The one who like actually does stuff. It's like councilwoman
she does,
or something.
And I don't. Yeah, councilwoman. I think so. Okay. I think they're like the government part, and then Stanton is like the military equivalent. It is well, what it's it not seems just, like.
He's like kind of in charge of the ship's like ship yeah. duties. You know, like as okay. a ship.
So it's not well, a military dictatorship. It is a committee,
right? Because it's basically a boat that also has a civilian government on it. So you would still need like the captain guy,
yeah.
You know, so it makes sense. Also, I know it's like mean to make fun of Power Rangers props, but the little globe they yeah, have in the middle of the room.
I was about to mention that. It's just this static, like, orb of of a few constellations on it. I'm like,
yeah.
Who is this helping?
Yes, exactly. Like, how... it has the maybe constellations drawn on it.
Like it's
and
a,
it's just very funny to be like... Yeah, I don't it's gotta know be that, decorative. Like, drawing the Big Dipper on it is gonna help you navigate the stars so much. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's probably decorative.
I think the idea is yeah. like this is a globe of space. So how do you do that? You put constellations on it.
But exactly. Specifically constellations as seen from Earth.
Yeah.
Right. So he says, well, bad news, y'all. We've only got one engine left. The other one's all done blewed up. And we're not going to make it to our destination. Now, we talked about this very early on. They never fucking told us where they're going. And seemingly in this scene, Stanton's like, it's fine though, because we found a planet. We're just sort of happening by a planet that's yeah, like, got oxygen.
I thought their goal was to go find a planet they could live on, and they've done that. So what's
it
how,
was,
how,
yes.
They act like, oh, we failed, but we did find this. It's like, no, you just succeeded. This you just did it.
Right. It's a little confusing to me. But yeah, it really sounds like they just whoopsed into finding one, which is fine, I guess. It's just, yeah, we did it right as we were about to run out of fuel. So they decide to land on it. I also at this point want to say there's a whole lot of language in this episode that is very colonization-y.
God, yeah.
Yeah, she says, you've led us to the new world.
The new world is specifically the phrase.
So
yeah,
they talk about
like,
unspoiled lands. They'll be the first ones to...
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Oh, I can't wait for them to strip this planet of all its resources. Like, fuck.
They do. Somebody says, like, there's been no footsteps on it. And I'm like, I really hope... That's true. And you're not yeah. just gonna be like, well, sorry, other species yeah. who live here.
Like, they really didn't have to use the language of the New World. Like, I realize this is a time where, like, most people were probably like, oh, that's yeah. a cool thing we did, and not like, but like, it's
our
really,
hero,
you really didn't have
Columbus.
To.
It's yeah. tough. It's tough with space stuff because, like, a lot of sci-fi, I feel like, sidesteps it by just being like, yeah, look, here's a planet with oxygen and trees, and there's just no people. Hooray, we did it. And, I mean, I assume that's possible, but, yeah, I also feel like if you have the, like, basically the exact same conditions as Earth, there would probably be something there.
Yeah,
like,
there would probably be sapient life, you know?
Right. Or proto sapient life that you are basically saying right. will never evolve because
Right. Because now we're gonna land there and eat them or whatever. But that said, they decide that they're gonna land there, and everybody sort of gathers like in the main like quad area that they always hang out in, and there's this huge fucking tower with a big ass TV on it that we've never seen before that the Commander Stanton shows up to like give his best Picard speech to like the whole spaceship, and that's fine, but it is funny to me that there's this like stadium-sized jumbotron that we've never seen before, even once.
You feel like they would have had announcements on there before of all the stuff that happens in Power Rangers.
The tower can only be used to announce when you have found a new planet. That's why it's never come up before. That's
right. That's its only purpose. Mm-hmm. He also, at this point, says 212 days ago we left, so we got a time frame for how long they've been on this ship, which is not that long.
It's less
quick.
So now you can start your project of placing every episode someplace on that 212 days.
Oh boy, good.
Do we know which day they left?
It does actually mean that, like, even if you assume that like all the episodes are evenly spaced, I guess. Like the Power Rangers have a lot of downtime. It doesn't seem like they're fighting that often. I feel like in original Power Ranger, like first season, it was very often implied like, yeah, they have to fight, you know, Rita like three times a week, it seems like. So they it seems like they don't have to do it as much.
Does the first Power Rangers season take place over like a single school year, or
I don't know.
I mean, there's three Power Rangers seasons where there's the same characters are still in high school and none of them graduate. Okay, so
they graduate in Turbo,
right? So so it is about it probably a year. Okay. Each season, and those were like 60 episode seasons, so
yeah. All right, yeah. So that, I mean, that's a fairly frequent amount of times that you have to fight Putty Patrol, I guess.
Yeah,
yeah, for sure. One of my favorite things about that first, by like the third season, is that you just see like in the police station, they just have like pictures of Putty Patrol that's like, just call us, we'll come deal with it, don't even worry about it. Anyway, Stanton is like, all right, everybody, look up and see your new home. Now, again, we've talked about this fucking dome. The dome that they all live in a couple times, especially early on, we talked about it a lot. We've got to do it again, unfortunately, because
it's a hologram.
This makes it very clear that they have a holographic sky that they can turn off so that you can see space. Yeah, with like
artificial light.
Yes, that's cool. That's fine. The problem with that, well,
what's the problem?
Let's talk about it now. Mm-hmm. This dome is going to crack, and Stanton is going to be like, the space will get in and we'll all die. And you can't do that on season 7 Power Rangers.
Like, literally last episode, Mike was just floating in space with no spacesuit or anything. And Leo comes and picks him up and he's fine.
There have truly been dozens of times in Power Rangers where people are in space and they can breathe. Like, it happens all the time. In this fucking season, they do a Starship Troopers, training mission on the goddamn moon.
Yeah.
And nobody's wearing helmets. You can't do this. I'm sorry. Like, and also, the other thing about it is it's apparently glass, but, like, straight up in the Mutiny episodes, the Lost Galaxy episodes, Captain Mutiny rows a flying rowboat onto Terra Venture from the sky. So, how did he get through it?
Magic.
There's little doors.
Docking port.
A wizard did it.
It's Yes. I mean, and then also, like, they're constantly being attacked on Terra Venture, but I always assumed it was teleportation. But I don't know. The dome doesn't make any sense.
I do agree with you that it is unlikely that the dome was never damaged in any of the previous times where a monster destroyed Angel Grove.
Yeah.
Not Angel Grove, but yes. Terra Venture.
Well,
Angel Grove is all that exists, so it must be part of Angel Grove.
It literally is part of Angel Grove. That's not our dumb headcanon. They literally say they basically just picked up a big piece of city and turned it into a spaceship.
It was presumably Angel Grove because, like, Balkan Skull were there. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is an insane thing to do, but whatever. That's fine.
All of you are in space now. Have fun.
Yes. Yep. Well, not I think they told everybody. I don't think they were just
you,
like,
you had to, like, enter a lottery or people. Something.
Yeah, because they're going to keep people off the land because you had to have a special permit to get in.
Like, oh my god, you're right. So it was actually, you know how, like, if the government builds a highway, like, through where your house is, they can, like, possess, they can just eminent take your domain. Land. It was, yeah, eminent domain. It was that, but way worse. They were like, this whole city's going to be a spaceship. Fuck you.
If you live here, just don't worry. You can die on Earth now.
Yeah, great. So, everybody cheers because they're gonna be on this planet. It's honestly, you know, Commander Stanton's actor does a decent impression of a Star Trek captain here.
Yeah.
And everybody's cheering and really happy. There's this.
I like
dad
how the planet's glowing green. By the way.
Yes. Well, they have to show you it's not Earth somehow.
Atmosphere. We'll just blame it on the atmosphere.
Yeah. This dad picks up his little son and like lifts him up into the air and he's like, yeah. And that stuck with me because later I'm pretty sure this little kid dies.
Oh,
I mean, they don't show it, obviously. But like this dad and kid are like under rubble when they get attacked.
Yeah, but they're fine. Like when they're,
of course they are. Everybody's fine.
Yeah, I just mean like we see them and they're fine in that scene that you're talking about. Like
I thought. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I was misremembering it.
Yeah. It just seems tragic because the kid is like, Daddy, are we gonna make it to
That's
the planet?
And
the
dad is like, no, what he says is,
of course
Daddy,
we are.
Are we going to make it to the new world?
Oh, yeah. He right. says it again.
Yeah.
It is funny that, like, I get it. It's a kid's show. But, like, you know, when we don't zoom in, you can always be like, I guess there was nobody in those buildings. But, like, when this happens, it's like, you're telling me none of these people died? Nobody.
Like, yeah,
everybody's
like how much spare city do they have? it's funny because I watched this episode, like, on the last day we were going to record it, which was 2 weeks ago. And then I kind of watched it today, like in the background, and the scene where the kid says, "Then, like, Daddy, are we going to the new world thing?" Just made me burst out laughing.
I watched it then. And then I watched it on 2x speed on YouTube to refresh myself. And that was really funny.
Yeah.
I would recommend that if you want to. So everyone's excited to get to this.
And I guess we just leave the dome off because, like, it shows the Rangers all just hanging out, looking at the new world.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. No reason. That's right. No reason to put it back on.
Yeah.
And we see Commander Stanton
and Mike have a little
and Mike are having a little heart to heart where he's like, you know, you can get some sleep. You've been up like forever basically. And he's like, no, I'm, you know, I don't want to miss anything. After all it took to get here, I do. Now Mike lost his powers, his Magna Defender powers at the end of the last episode.
And was unconscious for hours in space.
Yes. So he napped. He's fine.
Yeah.
but yeah, I do appreciate Mike getting to have a little bit of screen time still, even though he does not have powers anymore, because he does a couple things in this episode. But yeah, then we cut to the rest of the Rangers just looking up at the new planet, being all excited. Like Karone is like, oh boy, I can't wait to see every bit of this new planet. And in my head, I was like, you were astronomer. You were like a galaxy conquering bad guy.
She's literally from another human planet. That's an alien called KR-35 or some shit. Like,
yeah, that was funny to me. I was like, why did they make her say it?
Like, they could have other characters say this line, and she says it.
And then Kai is like, can you imagine? No cars, no pollution until we fix her right up.
They're bringing the cars.
Yeah, literally, they have cars on Terra Venture. And then Maya says, beaches without a single footprint, like it was just born.
Yeah, that's the part that's
fucked up.
Really made me kind of like,
it's weird language.
It's some also fucking Manifest Destiny shit here.
It also doesn't make a ton of sense. Like, what was just born? The beach?
And again, I don't understand. you said Maya said that? Maya's from a different planet.
She's also an alien. That's right. They had the two people who are aliens say that those things. Yeah, that is pretty funny. I forgot about that. She also says she wished Kendricks were here to see this. And Leo kind of puts his hand on her shoulder. You see the sun come out from behind the new planet. It's actually pretty cool. There's some decent stuff, like visuals, in this episode. And that's pretty neat. And then Kai is like, oh shit, I'm going to be late for my shift. And then Leo is like, who cares? And Kai's like, I'm the fucking pilot, dude.
Yeah, and everyone's like, oh, okay, never mind. Go. Which I thought was a pretty good joke.
It's really funny because it's like, you like almost anybody else, sure, if you have him be like, to call in sick, like we're having a good time together. Nope, you really need him to go in.
Yeah, he needs to be there.
Isn't Damon the head of engineering?
Who?
Yeah, Damon is the head
Damon
of engineering.
Damon is the head of engineering, yes.
You don't need him anymore, it's fine.
So he is not in engineering when they are barely hanging on to their one remaining engine, which is four engines.
Well, I will say that we've seen the engineering bay, and there's a lot of dudes in there. It feels like they're pretty staffed up.
Okay.
We've only seen, like, there's other people on the bridge, but Kai specifically drives it. So I don't know how many other pilots they have.
You definitely asked him because he's left in the middle of things to go be a Power Ranger. So,
Mike is also there, and together they get ready to land. Unfortunately, at that moment, we see the Scorpion Stinger fly overhead, and here's Trakina to wreck everybody's day.
And then she just starts fucking up Terra Venture, which she never did before, never tried this before.
She could have just
done it. It's shockingly effective.
It's one of those things where we kind of talked about this. Before Scorpius gets killed, there's really no reason for the bad guys in this season to attack Terra Venture. Like, they're just sort of, like, traveling through space.
They have the lights of Orion on it, apparently. But that's
Well, that's true. But like, really, in general, they get their butts beat them by them a couple times, and it's like, aren't y'all the head of like an evil galactic empire? Go do anything else. Then there's like the revenge angle. But not only did they not have a ton of reasons to do it, the way they did it was to, I guess, teleport into it other than, and never to just fucking shoot lasers at it.
Yeah, because they don't have, any external defenses, do they?
No, I don't think they have guns.
You could have just stood outside and shot them.
So yeah. let me play devil's advocate here and say, previously they had multiple engines so they could escape with their engines.
And that's a good point. They do say they're a tenth of the speed as they
okay, use. Okay, so they're just way too fast.
Terra Venture a lot, though. Like, she does show up to it. So, like, are they not normally going as fast as they could? And they could go really fast, and she's worried about maybe. That? Like, we don't... I don't know.
I
But they don't...
Yeah.
It's a good point that they don't have... They don't have guns, but also now they're very slow. So they're not really able to make good speed. And so they're being attacked by Trakina. And... She does shoot lasers at them and just starts blowing up one of the domes, like not the main one.
The mountain dome or some shit, I don't know.
Yeah, and we see a bunch of like civilians running around. You know, this is part of the finale, so it makes sense, but we do see a ton of a ton of extras in the scene. There's a lot more like space shots of the external spaceship and everything, which is cool. Then one of the funniest things happens, which is Leo and Damon are trying to figure out what to do, and they run past some military guys who are carrying these boxes, and one of the soldiers goes, "All of the explosives have been removed, sir." And it just cracked me up because it's like, yeah, we need to move all the explodey boxes so that she doesn't blow them up when she's attacking. Like, it's, I assume that they feel like they need them for some purpose once they get there, but it's very funny for a space colony to just have crates and crates of explosives.
It would make more sense if they were like moving munitions to their defenses or something. That's not what's happened. Like you said, they're removing the explosives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will also say they do a very poor job defending because Leo just does like that Goku move over the car and then
he does Goku,
does a flip in through the window. And this is something that, you know, if you actually were looking, if you had people facing in multiple directions, you could have prevented this.
Yep, they were not paying attention. You are, of course, referencing Goku from Dragon Ball Evolution.
Yeah, I was going to say, specifically Goku.
Most well-known version of Goku.
He
doesn't slide his hair across it like Goku does, which is unfortunate.
I saw that movie in theaters.
Oh, no.
Good job.
I'm sorry.
I knew it was going to be bad, to be fair. It's not like I was like, please be good. They steal these explosives because Leo says he has an idea. We see on the bridge everybody like sparks shooting everywhere, and you know, it looks like it's bad times. Stanton's all
like reverse thrusters, and then Trakina's like, "I'm going to shoot your thrusters," and now you can't reverse them, and they're like, "Oh fuck."
Yes. Yeah, a lot of this is models. This is some real bad CGI, but like it's fine. Huh. She blows up the last engine. We see in the like engineering bay a bunch of people flying.
Very good Star Trek explosions.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a really intense shot of Trakina's eye, and then like.
Fire her pupil over it.
Fills up with fire, and I'm like, Jesus, okay.
Yeah, it goes real hard considering they're not actually killing anyone.
yeah. So she says that, and then we see, or she does that, and then we see her like
photo enhance.
Using enhance to zoom in on one of the little passageways between the domes, and she sees the Green Ranger, and she's like, "Oh no, stop what we're doing and go kill that guy."
And I like how he's just like moving his waving his arms trying to get their attention and it works.
Yeah. This is pretty cool. It's obviously like 1995, you know, TV kids show graphics.
But it's done pretty well, yeah.
The Scorpion Stinger has mandibles on the front of it, and it's using them to smash out the windows like of the tube, which again would fucking suck you out, but it's space. It's their version of space isn't space.
So I just assumed that they depressurized it earlier.
Yeah.
But he's, I mean, well, I guess the Power Rangers suits could be airtight. Maybe they are magic or whatever.
But there's no gravity change or anything either. They're not getting sucked out. Like,
But either way, it's getting smashed and he runs back towards one end. And Leo pulls out this explosive, which, okay, so what was this explosive for? Because it looks like...
It looks like a little arm laser or something.
Yeah, I can't figure out what, like, industrial purpose that they had for this, that it was on the ship.
Mining?
mining. That's the ticket. He sticks it on one of the mandibles as it pokes through, which is pretty great.
But also, what was his plan if she just shot the... like station that he's on?
Great question. Who knows?
he just knew she was going to use the mandibles.
Yeah. It blows up and they do a cool guys don't look at explosions jump away from it. And
fucks up the ship pretty badly, surprisingly, because just on the mandible and not like near an engine or anything.
Also, the Scorpion Stinger, then after it gets blown up, it falls down.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, space like works. How in space there's gravity when you fall, when you get blown up.
Maybe they're close enough to the planet
and its moons.
That's true. That's fair. They are about to land on one, so that's probably what happened. We cut back to the bridge, and Kai tells Commander Stanton they're not going to make it to the planet. That they're going to have to try and crash land on this moon. And they do. And it's pretty cool, I think. Like, it's all models and stuff. And I mean, I'm such a sucker for models now because we don't get them anymore. But it is neat to watch this big-ass space station crash onto the moon. It is funny how the dome part very cleanly comes off of the rest, the engines.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Maybe it was designed to do that.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it was. Maybe that was the plan once they got there to detach like the Enterprise or whatever.
I'm not going to mention that all of the side domes are no longer with the main dome. And the
entire...
That's
true. Sure hope nobody was in any of those.
I sure hope nobody was in engineering the entire big shaft down the middle of that ship.
Oh, that's right.
Because
there was
that's
people in them. Point. We saw them in there. Unless they might have escaped.
No, they're okay. They got
away.
Okay,
okay.
Also, the stated reason for all those domes was because they were habitats for like animals they were bringing with them.
Okay.
So I hope they didn't need any of those.
I feel bad for the animals too.
Hope we're good without them. Well, that too. Yes. It's just really funny to me that they were like, "Yeah, we brought the ocean dome, so that we could bring like dolphins with us because that's important for some reason."
We gotta have dolphins. We gotta introduce invasive species.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah, that's like, I get that you're gonna try to find a new planet, but like, we'll probably have animals. You don't have to bring.
Yeah, but are we gonna be as good as dolphins?
Sure. Well, you know, that's a good point. Dolphins are pretty cool. They can do tricks and stuff.
They can.
They
also love murder and pain.
They do. They're not great in terms of, from a moral perspective. Dolphins have some questionable activities they get up to.
There's
That's
no
a fair
law
point.
In the sea, Zach.
That's true. Dolphins do like killing in an upsetting way, though, which is pretty
Can't
weird.
Bring your ethics into the ocean.
It's like, why do they kill? You know, other animals, because they just seem to enjoy it. Oh, cool. Let's bring a bunch of them into this big indoor pool and show them to little kids. So anyway, while they're crashing, we're seeing a bunch of shots of, like, people getting flung around. And then when we cut back once the crash is done. We see a truly tremendous amount of gray spray painted foam that has fallen on people, you know, because it's debris. And we see the Rangers helping people up out from under it. We see the previously mentioned dad and his son. And the dad's like, yes, of course we're going to make it. No, don't worry, even worry about it.
We also see the dome cracking.
Yes. So we see the dome start to crack. And everybody... Now, when I say start to crack, I mean big ass chunks of it are already falling off.
Yeah, which makes me think we'd already be in a lot of trouble. But I guess it's fine still.
Also, like, they turned the dome holographs off. So, like, and it's just a big white dome now. That could all just be microfractures.
Oh.
Oh, the whole thing is broken already, yeah. You think. Yeah, yeah, could be. That's going to be
bad. Unless they just put the hologram back on for some reason. I don't know.
I hope it's laminated glass or people are going to be in a lot of trouble when that whole thing falls down.
Oh, no.
It's
going to be
real gruesome, yeah. Commander Stanton talks to the council and he's like, the dome's cracking. And this one guy who kind of looks like Sean Connery is like, well, what are you saying? We should abandon Terra Venture.
Dude, what the fuck do you think they're going to do? Like, what?
Right. Stanton's
bro,
like,
bro, you're not on the engine anymore.
There's no point in dying on the ship. Also, it's a colony spaceship. You were going to get out of it eventually. Like, what?
Yeah, that's what it's for.
Yeah.
And you're already right next to the planet.
You'll figure out a way. You got spaceships. You can figure out a way to get over that distance, surely. So
we don't know if they can handle reentry, I guess. But also, why am I even talking about reentry on Power
Rangers?
They've
got the megaship.
There's no reentry, and oh yeah, they do have the megaship. That's true.
Yeah, I was thinking about the megaship would just ferry everyone back and forth for like a while.
Yeah, it might take a while. Yeah. So they say let's evacuate. Then we see Trakina eat a bug, which is interesting. Kegler is like,
I appreciate that they have an actual bug prop that they just kind of wave in front of her.
Yeah, it's like, I'm sure it's just like on a string. Yeah, and Kegler, well, the reason I say it's interesting because I think they're trying to say like she's becoming more like animal or insect-like. And Kegler is like, you know, that could have been your relative that you just ate.
No, it couldn't.
I don't think so, but,
Well, it's like saying if a human ate a monkey and they were like, that's a relative. Like, no, it isn't.
Right. Yeah.
It's but also like, it's no, weird to eat a monkey.
So. I mean, some people do it, but I think we're also like, isn't the thing with DNA that we're still like 97% close to like rats or something? I don't have it exactly right, but like that we actually share most of the same stuff as things that aren't even that related to us. She's like, whatever, it's a bug. That's what he was saying. But anyway, then we see that Trakina also, in addition to eating bugs now, has attached suicide bombs to all of her soldiers.
Yeah, so fucked up. Also, she doesn't need to do this. They can just shoot the dome.
Trakina just likes the theatrics of it all. She likes explosions.
And Villamax doesn't like it because he's a bad guy, but he's like a bad guy with honor.
Right.
He's all like, now.
I don't think necessarily that the Stingwingers are like people. They seem to be like hive mind, but it's still pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
And Villamax is like, hey, you know, I'm sure we could think of a way to kill the Power Rangers without blowing up all of our soldiers. Like, probably. And she's like, hey, I got an idea. How about you shut the hell up? she says, yeah, I've got a date with Destiny and I won't be late. And she like shoves him out of the way.
And then she shows up at the Hive, which we've never seen before. And it's pretty neat. It's a pretty
I like the Hive.
One other time, but it does look cool. I really like the, it's got like stingwingers are in all the little like honeycomb cells and they do like a 360 pan while she talks about how she's going to rule the universe and kill all the Power Rangers. And it's neat. She's got a good evil villain speech in a cool location. I appreciate, like I said, I know like whenever we're on Power Rangers, we're like, this episode looks good. Like, I know that I'm, what I mean by that is I'm comparing it to other episodes of Power Rangers. Like,
also taking into account like when it was made, like,
right. But I do genuinely like considering most of the time we get like a location that's basically like the California desert and they tinted the sky red. It's nice to see like four different cool set piece places in this episode.
Yeah.
So I did just see, just notice on the, in this next shot that they actually have what looks straight up like the, like the space shuttle, like the American, you know, NASA space shuttle.
Yeah. Parked.
And I think I actually forgot that's how they got people up here because they had to bring people up to the, to Terra Venture. Yeah.
Because you probably couldn't just build it on Earth.
Right. Cause it's already in space when they like finish building it. So they do have shuttles. So they've got ways to get people.
Yeah, around. They've got at least two of them because one is sitting on the landing strip and then one is already in flight.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're evacuating people already. Then Kai points out that they've got incoming fighters, stingwingers coming in. And we see a shot of a ton of stingwingers coming at the Terra Venture dome that's like laying on the moon at the end of a big like trench where it like skidded to a stop. And then we see Trakina fucking riding the top of her spaceship.
Yeah.
Like,
so good.
Laughing.
Good pose.
I was like, man, I really do like Trakina and it bums me out again that she's only in like less than half the episodes in this season, but it's cool that she gets some cool big evil villain bits in this episode. And I'm sure she'll get a couple more because there's two more parts after this. So that is the end of episode one or part one of Journey's End. And there's two more parts and then we're done with Lost Galaxy.
Woo.
So yeah, I thought that was, this was a pretty suitable, like, first part of a finale.
Yeah.
There's, if you break down what happens, it's like not that many things, but I think they do a decent job of like ramping up tension. Like obviously everyone's going to be fine. It's Power Rangers, but
yeah,
they do make you feel like, this is bad. This is not good. Like they're crashed on the moon. You know, there's no,
I will say that the dome breaking is like not that, like, no, because of the reasons we've already mentioned. Like, it's not that it's hard for that to take that seriously.
Yeah, they're telling like, no you one's it's gonna, bad, but
they aren't going to have a bunch of civilians get sucked up into space and then asphyxiate. It's not that sort of show. This is not Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, you know, I'm not trying to be gruesome, but I was thinking like if this was another show, like the big dome of glass shattering above you would be really horrific if it was in, you know, Battlestar Galactica or something like that.
If you like to know what it's like for a space colony in space to just get fucking shot by lasers suddenly, watch several Mobile Suit Gundam series. It doesn't go well.
Yeah, Gundam's gnarly.
There's some bad shit that happens in Gundam.
Like the first episode of the first Gundam series goes so hard immediately.
Yeah. Watch the 0079, the original Mobile Suit Gundam. It kicks ass.
It's really good. My suggestion, if you are going to watch just one Gundam, is Turn A, but I also just really love Turn A.
I would say Turn X, because you also don't really need the context that Turn A would be better with, but that's splitting hairs. And also, I just like Turn X more. I like Gundam X more. But anyway, sorry.
Hey, I didn't mean to get us into a Gundam discussion. How come the Turn A Gundam has a big mustache?
Because it looks good.
Yeah. Gundam doesn't have a mustache. What are you talking about? Gundams don't have mustaches. The Queen of the Moon.
This Gundam has a mustache.
The Queen of the Moon said that Gundams can't have mustaches, so it can't be a Gundam.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Yeah.
I don't know what we're referencing, but I assume that this is correct.
Yeah, I have not seen Turn A. There's literally
a character who is a Queen of the Moon in Turn A.
I have not seen Turn A yet, but I know that the main character is very femme and dresses up as a girl at some point, and that's cool. And also that the Gundam gets butterfly wing later, so IMO, it's trans as fuck, even though I haven't even seen it. That right there feels very trans.
Fair enough. But yeah, so that is the end of the episode. I'm pretty excited to see what happens next. I will say that my Amazon just started playing the next episode, and immediately there's a standoff where two of the Megazords are like punching swarms of Stingwingers, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah, the next episode preview also does show a fucking entire fleet of space shuttles. So NASA really busy.
Yeah, I know.
NASA,
yes.
Right, of course.
Like, when NASA still had a space shuttle, they had one, right? They didn't have, a bunch.
They had three.
Yeah,
they had a number of them.
Columbia, Challenger, and I can't remember Enterprise. What the other one was. Enterprise, right.
Yeah, but not, 50.
No, they did not have nearly that many, because they were meant to be reusable, and NASA does not tend to do a lot of launches.
Yes. Cool. Well, yeah. So excited to see what happens next. I'm the last two episodes I've really liked and have been fun after the Lost Galaxy arc not being my favorite. So we'll see what happens next. And excited to see that. Let's see. Emily, is there anything that you'd like to plug for people?
Not really.
Okay. Morgan, how about you?
Not really.
Iris, how about you?
All right. I would like to plug the award-winning podcast, Eidolon Playtest, which you can find also on Audio Entropy, or you can subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/EidolonPlaytest, where we are currently in the middle of one of our main long-running campaigns, Eidolon Disco and Eidolon Ska. Just like with Eidolon Pop and Rock, they are two campaigns that are taking place in parallel with each other. Eidolon Disco, which is the one I am a player on, is set in the 1980s about a group of mystery solving teens. And this Eidolon Ska is set in the 2000s that stars a group of mystery solving teens who are specifically trying to figure out what happened to the original mystery club of the 80s, who just suddenly disappeared and were presumed dead, but no one ever knew what happened to them. Check it out. There's some wild stuff that is coming down the pipeline that I'm pretty excited for folks to hear. So, give that a shot. Or you could check out one of the, if you want to dip your toe in, you can check out one of the mini campaigns that we've done, such as Eidolon Daft or Eidolon Queen, which I GM'd. So, you know.
Yeah, you should. If you haven't listened to any of it, those little mini campaigns are a really good way to kind of get the idea of how the system works and what the show is like. So I would definitely recommend those. Cool. For me, you can find me on Twitter, well, on whatever fucking X, at Kimchi Machilla.
It's called Twitter, dude. It's fine.
I saw that he changed the fucking, but it doesn't say tweet anymore. It just says post. I'm like,
it
Jesus
hasn't for
Christ.
A long time for me.
I just don't know that I noticed before.
I don't pay attention. I just hit the blue button.
It's just so stupid. Like, so with that said, come back next week or next time, and we will do part two. And excited to do that with y'all and finish up the series and move on to the next one. So until then, for Teenagers with Attitude, I've been Zach.
I've been Emily.
I've been Morgan.
And I've been Iris.
Incredible. I forgot to do an order and y'all did such a good job. Everybody, wait, no, how's it end? May the power protect you always. That's how it goes.
Stay out of the basement.
Good night, everybody. Bye.